Today on Rainbow Country, highlights from the 7th annual Inspire Awards, an award show celebrating the LGBT community, plus music from LGBT recording artists. Stay tuned for Gay Talk Radio Toronto Style, right here on Rainbow Country.
Hi, I'm Mayor John Tory, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
No matter who you are, no matter what you do, everyone has a story to tell. And right here on this LGBT show is where it all starts. We lift our voices, share our stories, and we'll raise our pride. After all, we've come a long way since 1969 and the Stonewall riots, to the legalization of same-sex marriage, to the recognition of trans equality. I'm Mark Tara. Join me on this journey through Rainbow Country. CIUT 89.5 FM. This is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show, giving voice to the LGBT community. I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. A little bit about me. I am an LGBT content creator. I'm also a recording artist. Let's get social. Let's get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Honey, follow me, I'll follow you back. Do you want to be on the show? Do you want me to play your music? Are you an artist? A performer of some type? Maybe you have a gay-friendly business? Get in touch. Mark at marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, this week on Podomatic.com's on their gay and lesbian chart. Thanks to you, Rainbow Country is number 5. Number 5, honey. Mm-hmm. And again, everything is hooked up through my website, marktara.com. marktara.com. So this is episode 51. On this episode, we'll hear highlights from the 7th Annual Inspire Awards, an award show honoring the LGBT community, the 7th annual. So we'll hear from Alfonso King Jr., who was recognized for his activism when it comes to raising awareness and money for HIV/AIDS. We'll also hear from Patricia Tucci, the Marketing and Communications Chair of the Inspire Awards. And we'll hear from the recipient of the International Icon Award, Omar Sharif Jr. If that name sounds familiar, he is the grandson of the Golden Globe winner and Oscar-nominated iconic actor, Omar Sharif. Do you remember Funny Girl, classic movie? Dr. Zhivago? What about Lawrence of Arabia? Well, that would be Omar Sharif. Mm-hmm, that's right. So we'll hear from his grandson, Omar Sharif Jr. Plus, we'll hear music from LGBT recording artists. So my friends, are you ready? Are you buckled in? Because this journey through Rainbow Country begins right now.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
Just 36 years ago, our LGBTQ2S community took to the streets to protest for their rights following the bathhouse raids of 1981. I understand those political roots still exist, even if Pride has evolved into more of a celebration over time. I'm not going to stand here and pretend that the work in Toronto, the work in addressing those issues, is done, because it's not done. There are issues right now that are being discussed and worked through. They've been discussed in my presence and with my participation in our discussions, for example, of anti-black racism. These are things that we have to confront and deal with in our city. But as I said last week, we deal with these things in a Toronto way. We sit down and we talk about them. We talk them through together. And we make sure that those discussions result in resolution to as many of these issues as possible, as soon as possible. And conversations are ongoing about Pride itself. Important and necessary conversations from many vantage points. And it is in these conversations, this ongoing dialogue, that I believe our city will achieve the most benefit. I have deep respect for the LGBTQ2S community because in the face of adversity, it overcomes continuous challenges and seeks to create a more inclusive, positive space for everybody. This is the Toronto that I'm proud to be the mayor of. And this is the leadership that we must continue to show. The work continues here at home, but I think we also have to take opportunities like this to speak out and advocate for those facing oppression abroad. I join leaders across the world in condemning the torture and imprisonment of gay and bisexual men in Chechnya. These human rights abuses are not reserved to just Chechnya. We see it there, but it happens in places around the world. It is unacceptable and reprehensible to witness the events in Chechnya or the caning of two men in Indonesia who were punished for their intimacy with one another. In fact, Indonesia just saw a sauna raid very similar to the bathhouse raids which gave rise to Pride, as I referenced earlier. Toronto stands firm in condemning all acts of discrimination and violence towards the LGBTQ2S community, both here and abroad. As long as I am the mayor of Toronto, and I know I speak as well for my council colleagues, you will have an outspoken ally, you will have outspoken allies and friends. Like all Toronto residents, I want you to feel safe, just like everybody else in this city should feel safe, and I want you to feel engaged, and I want you to feel respected. And I want you to work with me to ensure that Toronto maintains its reputation as a place of inclusion and leadership on LGBTQ2S issues. 2 weeks ago, I hosted a leadership breakfast with leaders from this community to discuss the role families play in supporting trans and gender expansive children and youth. I was incredibly moved. You couldn't help but be moved by what some of the personal experiences were shared with us, both by our trans speakers and by the mother of a trans child. The event reinforced my own determination to continue to advocate for trans issues and to better promote understanding and acceptance, because a lot of it is about promoting better understanding, making sure people are better informed, and I think that will lead to much greater acceptance. LGBTQ families face unique realities and experiences and challenges, and that means we have to stand up for them too, and to make sure that they're understood and that the respect they're given and the support they're provided are the things that they want and that they deserve. I say often that being one of the most diverse cities in the world comes with a real and profound responsibility that I take seriously, as do I know my colleagues, the responsibility to protect and enforce our values as a city at all times for all of our citizens. And so I encourage Torontonians to take part in the various programming that Pride is offering throughout the month of June, starting tomorrow. And I invite you to join me after the flag raising for a delicious barbecue prepared by Chef Kai and the fantastic team at City Gourmet. And I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to the Carpenters Union and to the TD Bank for sponsoring this year's barbecue, and to Catapsa for their continuous sponsorship and support of LGBTQ2S events. I look forward Yeah, here, here. I look forward to celebrating Pride Month with you, and I'll just conclude before I read the proclamation and ask Alika to come forward and receive a commemorative copy of it. I ask you to join me in wishing each other and wishing the whole city a happy Pride. Alika, I will just read this if you could come forward and accept this on behalf of your entire committee. It says Pride Month, June 2017. Whereas Pride Month in Toronto is one of our country's premier arts and cultural festivals and the largest Pride celebration in North America, Pride Month celebrates the history, courage, and diversity of Toronto's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, intersex, queer, questioning, two-spirited communities, and allies. The City of Toronto is at the forefront of efforts to eliminate poverty, violence, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, homelessness, hate crimes, hunger, and illiteracy, while empowering individuals and communities to stand up against hatred, intolerance, and discrimination. The City of Toronto is committed to promoting the fundamental human rights and enhancing the quality of life for refugees, persons with disabilities, LGBTIQ2SA women, children, Indigenous peoples, and others who are at risk of experiencing discrimination or violence. Now, therefore, I, Mayor John Tory, on behalf of the Toronto City Council, do hereby proclaim June 2017 as Pride Month in the City of Toronto. And Alika, please accept this. Happy Pride, everybody, and thank you for your attention.
Well said, Mayor John Tory. That was Toronto Mayor John Tory at the flag-raising ceremony announcing that June is Pride Month here in Toronto. There you go. Party on. When I return, highlights from the 7th Annual Inspire Awards. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Segato, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.
So here I am covering the Inspire Awards, and someone who's being honored for his activism in HIV/AIDS and helping to raise money for that is Alfonso King Jr. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited about this award, and also I'm excited to meet a lot of the other people in the community, because I love the Inspire Awards for bringing all the people together. You know, that's I think it's very important. And as I always say, if we don't celebrate our own, who will? So
when you realized that you were going to get this award for your activism in HIV/AIDS, what did that mean to you?
Well, considering I have never been honored for anything like that, it meant a lot. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised. I've for the past 5 years or so, I've been doing a lot of like events. My PosTO event, I did an event called PosTO, which was for the PAWS community to come and meet and socialize and have a good time. And it was also designed to help fight the stigma. And then we've rebranded that. So the new party is called Daddy Issues. And that's been going very well. But we also do the PosTO Awards at the end of the year on World AIDS Day. And we try and honor people who are activists or who are allies of the HIV positive community. And we just try and, you know, make sure that people know that we're here. I've been positive since 1989, and I'm very blessed and fortunate to still be alive because that was during that time period. That was a very, you know, it was a death sentence back then. So I'm ecstatic that people are paying attention and that they are recognizing that I'm trying to do something in the community. It's not always successful, and not all the events are jam-packed. Some of them are just a few people. Mm-hmm. But the idea is to create a new space for people. And so without the stigma, and that they can all come together and just have a good time.
So Alfonso King Jr., something else that you do is you're a DJ. You're DJ Relentless. How can people check out your spinning abilities? Where can people go to find DJ Relentless spinning?
Okay, well, you can go to Mixcloud if you just want to hear what it is that I do, because I actually spin a little of everything, and type in DJ Relentless and you'll find me online, so you can stream my mixes. But if you want to hear me live here in Toronto, I have a Friday night residency over at Stryker Sports Bar, mm-hmm. and I actually do video.
Where is that?
It's 31 St. Joseph. Apparently, this is before my time because I moved here, but apparently I guess that used to be a Rabba, and they converted it into a bar space, and it's a really gorgeous space. They've done really great work with it, and with all the television screens, I do video mixing, so we have a Friday night video dance party that happens every Friday.
So if people want to find out more about everything that Alfonso King Jr. does, where can they go? Are you on social media?
Oh, of course.
Website?
You can,
that sort of thing?
You can type in DJ Relentless on Facebook. Also, I have a website. It's Relentless Entertainment, all one word, .ca. And that'll tell you of all the things that I produce and all the events that I do. Because along with my other alter ego, Jade Electra, and the shows and stuff that I produce as well.
Alfonso King Jr., thanks for your time. Thanks for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Hey, this is Paul Bellini, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 on your FM dial.
So continuing my coverage from the Inspire Awards, the 2017 Inspire Awards, I'm now joined by Patricia Tucci, and you are the Marketing and Communications Chair for the Inspire Awards.
Yes, that's my title.
Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
So talk to me about your role with the Inspire Awards. What do you do being the Marketing and Communications Chair?
So Marketing Communications Chair really... with the Inspire Awards is more of a social media position. So we're really taking hold of the giant that is social media, taking Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and getting the message of the Inspire Awards out, as well writing some press releases. We've done two press conferences this year, one at City Hall and one at Queen's Park. So that's pretty much my portfolio for this event.
So talk to me about those news conferences that you did. I understand that it was the first time that the Inspire Awards did this, and this was your suggestion. So talk to me about that.
So when we were talking about nominations and how to announce them, Antoine was telling us, Antoine's the president, was telling us that they like to wait until the middle of February and try and do some big announcement. And I said, well, why don't we try a press conference this year? We have this amazing source with Councillor Kristen Wan Tam. Why don't we have her announce them? So we reached out to her, and she offered happily to do it for us. She actually booked the room at Toronto City Hall for us. It was a wonderful experience. And from then, once that press conference took place, we actually were reached out to by Sherry DeNovo, and she offered to book the press conference at Queen's Park for us, coming closer to the event to get a little bit more hype going.
Wow.
And it was pretty exciting.
And they went well, I understand.
They went well, yes. We've gained some good momentum from them. As you can see tonight, the hall is full. Mm-hmm. It's such a great vibe. Everyone's having a great time. Everyone has a smile on their face.
Great turnout.
Yes, fantastic.
So I'm curious. We were just taking some images of you,
yes.
Patricia Tucci.
Yes.
And you shook your hair like a fabulous supermodel. And I understand that you were a model back in the day. How was that experience for you?
Well, not quite a model. I did do a couple of years of modeling school. That being said, it was done in Thunder Bay. cheers to Thunder Bay, but there was no real hopes of it really going anywhere. Mm-hmm. It was more used, my mother owned a bridal store in Thunder Bay, so I used it for when I was walking in her bridal shows.
Nice.
Yes.
So you walk the runways.
I walk the runways of Thunder Bay, Valhalla, and yes, I
wow.
did. Yep.
Girl, you did, I didn't. What can I say?
Well, you know what? I still have connections in the bridal world. If you want to walk a runway, I can hook it up.
Anyways.
Yes.
So you are an ally to the LGBT community.
I am, yes.
Talk to me about, in your opinion, why do you think something like the Inspire Awards, that are awards geared towards the LGBT community, why do you think something like that is irrelevant, especially in 2017?
I think it's more relevant than ever in 2017, especially in a city like Toronto, where we have such a, I guess compared to maybe some other parts in the world, such a wonderful community that is so accepting. We need to show the rest of the world that LGBTQ is nothing to be afraid of, nothing that should be looked upon in any negative way. It's just such an amazing, it's just a community. It's fantastic. I've made some wonderful friends. I love working. I work with Pride Toronto as well. So I love spending my time in this community. And I think it's very important.
And I think too, it all comes down to love.
Love,
and I
yes,
think
definitely.
That how can you judge two people loving each other, whether it's two men, two women, or a man and a woman.
For sure. I never could quite understand how that could anger someone. It mm-hmm. just, it doesn't affect me. What someone else does, I could never wrap my head around how someone could have so much hate for something that they have no part in. I cannot wrap my head around it.
Patricia.
Yes.
Patricia Tucci.
Yes.
Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Hi guys, this is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
He's an actor, he's an activist, he's a model, and he's receiving the International Icon Award from the Inspire Awards. He is Omar Sharif Jr. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing amazing. I mean, I'm back in a city that I love. I'm in Toronto. I'm at this incredible event where they're going to be giving awards to just inspirational people from across the community. I don't know how far down the list they had to go before they got to me, but I'm very grateful, and I'm ready to have a great time tonight.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So you're part Canadian.
I am. I'm half Canadian. My mom's Canadian.
And you have dual citizenship. You live in New York right now?
I live in New York, but my dual citizenship was with Egypt.
Okay. Okay.
I'm from Egypt originally. My father's Egyptian. My whole father's side's Egyptian.
Right.
And I spent half my life there, going back and forth, always shuttling because my parents were divorced. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So you are an actor, and your recent film is 11th Hour, starring Salma Hayek.
That's correct.
Talk to me about, because I understand that it takes place during 9/11. You guys like maybe huddle in a bar or something. What's the film about?
Yeah, so, you know, it's kind of a very relevant and timely story, I think, especially given the politics of division in the United States today. I got a call one day. I was in London for an event, and director Jim Sheridan, a six-time Oscar-nominated director, called me. He's like, I see you in the newspaper. Are you actually in London right now? I said, I'm in London. He said, I'm making a film with Salma Hayek. Can you be on set in 5 hours? I was like, I know nothing about the movie. I don't have a script. I don't have the lines. Mm-hmm. He said, just trust me. Do you trust me? Jim Sheridan says to trust him. You trust him.
Okay.
So I went on set, and I met Salma, and she said, you know, we're making this incredible movie to counter this politics of division happening in the United States. I'm going to play a Mexican bartender. You're going to play sort of an Arab NYPD officer. The story's going to take place on 9/11 in a bar. And it's really, the theme's going to show that even on America's darkest day, America was strongest because we all worked together no matter what our differences were. Right. We all came together on that day, and we all came together in that bar despite, you know, people being very negative, people saying throw out the immigrants, throw out the Muslims. You know, at the end of the day, we were all American and we were stronger together.
And so it's doing, I guess, the festival circuit. It's part of the Tribeca Film Festival in 2017.
We just opened in Tribeca. We got great reviews. Yeah. And it's really exciting because it's a really small little film that we made really quickly. But it has big heart.
Yeah. So speaking of films, you can't think of films without thinking about the Academy Awards, Omar Sharif Jr. In particular, I'm thinking of the 83rd Annual Academy Awards, in which you were a presenter, you were on stage, and you did a little comedic skit with Kirk Douglas. What was that experience like, being on such a global stage?
Well, I was petrified. I mean, you know what? I had just moved to America. It was the end of the Arab Spring. It was the beginning of the Arab Spring. I was living in Egypt. There was still revolution happening. Tahrir Square was still packed with revolutionaries. Mm-hmm. And so many people back home were sort of living through this turmoil. And there I was in the middle of the Oscar stage, like with all of the Hollywood elite and glitterati. And so I wanted to represent Egypt so well. And so
yeah.
I was supposed to present Best Supporting Actress with Kirk Douglas, which eventually Melissa Leo won. And he comes up to me just like 2 minutes before we're supposed to go on, like right before the commercial break. And he's mm-hmm. like, if I improvise, just play along. I'm like, I don't think we're supposed to improvise. It's the Academy Awards. It's scripted. Like, we had rehearsals. They told us where to walk. They told us where to stand. They told me how to hold the envelope. Like, I don't know. We should go off book. He's like, just trust me.
Uh-huh.
I mean, God bless him. He was 93 years old at the time. And he stole the show. I mean, he just improvised. And we did this fake fight over his cane where we were actually wrestling over it. It wasn't even fake. I didn't know what was happening. So I was just fighting with him on stage, trying to get the envelope out of his hand and out of his mouth to read it. But it ended up being one of the highlights of the show, and mm-hmm. definitely a highlight of my life. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you're standing on the stage. You're looking out at the front row. And you see, I don't know, Nicole Kidman, I saw Oprah. I was like, just looking over the list, the faces in the front row, and I'm like, they're looking up at you here.
Yes.
Do I belong here?
Yes.
No. The answer is no, I don't belong here. Who am I? But it was really special. I mean, we did like rehearsals for 3 days.
Wow.
Because aside from doing that little bit, I was also the trophy boy. So I had to shuttle the trophies to the winners on stage, no matter who they were.
Right.
And guide the people off afterwards, after they won. And I got to hang out with just, like, everyone. Like, Celine Dion was singing that year, and she came, and she was like, could I drink from your water? I was like, you could drink from my water. I mean,
wow.
I don't mind sharing water with you. And Oprah was like, could you carry my shoes, like my heels? I don't want to wear them right now.
Are you serious?
I'll carry Oprah's shoes. Like, I don't know. Somehow sharing water with Celine Dion, carrying Oprah's shoes, is like any gay man's dream come true. But
wow.
It was pretty incredible.
And just so that the audience knows, this was back in 2011. Anne Hathaway was the host with James Franco. That was a hot mess.
I have no comment.
You have no comment?
I have no comment.
Really?
I have a lot of comments, but we're not going to air them.
Okay. So inquiring minds want to know, what's your opinion on Tom Cruise in regards to all these rumors that circulate around him? Do you think there's any validity to it?
I don't know. That's such a tough one to put your finger on. I mean, I was having dinner with my grandfather in New York. I was much younger. Mm-hmm. I think I was maybe around 12 years old. I already knew I was gay. And Tom Cruise was at the restaurant. My grandfather, by the way, is an actor as well. He's the icon, Omar Sharif. He has a couple Academy Award nominations, a couple Golden Globes. And so we were sitting outside at a restaurant having dinner, and Tom Cruise was there, and he came up around us, and he put his hands on my shoulders so he could talk to my grandfather and just say, you know, it's so nice to see you, because my grandfather's of a certain generation, and all actors sort of talk.
Iconic.
Yeah, so I remember just trembling right then, but I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm so bad. My gaydar's off. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just terrible.
So, let's speak about your namesake, your grandfather, Omar Sharif, iconic actor. Your grandfather once said to you, I gave you my name, I gave you my looks, I'm not going to give you anything else. You have to do it entirely on your own. What do you think he meant by that? How did you interpret that?
That was, I remember him saying that to me.
Mm-hmm.
We were in Paris having drinks after dinner, and I said, I think I'm going to move to L.A. You know, I've been doing the acting thing in the Middle East, a little bit in Canada. I was like, but I think I'm ready to move to L.A. And that was his way of telling me, there's going to be no shortcuts. We're not going to leverage my family name, my position. I mean, I have the name, so automatically I get a leg up on other people. I get in the door. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to my hard work and determination. I think my grandfather recognized that so many people want to be actors, and there are so many talented young actors that it would be completely unfair and also a disservice to myself to try to skip the line by using a connection. And I really respect and admire him for that, because I slogged it out. I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm a better actor because of it.
So your grandfather was in some classic movies like Lawrence of Arabia, Dr. Zhivago, Funny Girl, just to name three. When did you realize that you came from a famous family? When did that happen for you?
I mean, I think I always knew. And if not from my grandfather, then from my grandmother more. My grandfather, I knew people loved coming up when I was younger and taking photos with him at dinner, getting his autograph. Mm-hmm. But my grandfather was he was a people's person. He loved it. He loved just being out and about. My grandmother is probably a bigger star in the Arab world than my grandfather. She's
really?
Made over 200 films. Mm-hmm. She was like the Shirley Temple. She started when she was very young.
Wow.
And became sort of the Elizabeth Taylor she's known as the queen of the Arab screens. And she's beloved. She was beloved by the entire Arab world. But she couldn't leave her house. And so if I wanted to go to the zoo or if I wanted to go to a bookstore, I would always have to go with the driver or with the bodyguard because she would get mobbed. And that's when I knew that it was different, because in school I would hear about kids going out and doing stuff with their grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was never able to do that.
Mm-hmm. I understand that you were the first public personality to come out your coming out had an effect in the Arab world. So my question to you is, when you were just being yourself and you were going to publicly come out, did you think that my coming out will have a ripple effect in the Arab world? Did you think anything like that?
No, I don't think I did. I mean, I knew I was definitely visible in the Middle East. I was mm-hmm. an actor from a young age in Arabic. I was a spokesperson for top brands. I was, you know, a Calvin Klein model in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew I was visible, but I never thought that I would have a platform to talk about something like this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Arab Spring happened, and the Muslim Brotherhood came to power. And I didn't worry about LGBT rights specifically,
mm-hmm.
but I was worried about the role of women in a possible Islamist fundamentalist state.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about what would happen to my Coptic Christian friends. And so I just sort of wrote an op-ed using myself as a litmus test and said, okay, new government, I'm gay. How are you going to deal with me? And it was a bit more eloquent than that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reaction was actually much more negative than I would have expected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I was the newspapers used to refer to me as Egypt's favorite son, my grandparents being who they were.
Mm-hmm.
And the day after I came out, the national newspaper said, the headline was Public Enemy Number One.
Wow.
And so it really was a big change. Disappointed,
mm-hmm.
I think. You know, the country was going through such turmoil. The economy was crashing. The government wasn't being effective. you'd think we had bigger problems to worry about than the next 4 days of media to have been consistently about my sexuality.
Right.
You'd think we'd deal with bigger things. But I guess during tough times, people like a little bit of gossip to lighten the mood.
Mm-hmm.
Arethiv, threats of violence, of intimidation, death threats, and I haven't been back home since.
Mm.
But no, I didn't ever expect to have that platform, and even after it happened, I was told I was the first public figure to come out in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that anyone has since.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that it ignited any change.
Right.
But it's given a voice to the voiceless and mm-hmm. a face to those that have to stay hidden because it's difficult, if not outright dangerous, to be out in some of these countries.
And someone to look to, like yourself, for, you know, people back in the Middle East that might be, you know, questioning their sexuality and some and stuff, you know?
I get messages every day, about a few dozen, actually, from LGBT youth across the region that say thank you. A lot of them share their stories. Mm-hmm. They're difficult to listen to or to hear. I don't always engage because I'm not a mental health professional. I don't
sure.
know how to engage. And so it's really tough to hear those stories because those are the heroes, because I was fortunate. You know, being a Sharif in Egypt is kind of like being born a Kennedy or, well, a Kardashian, if you look mm-hmm. at me from the backside. I was blessed. I had a family that loved me unconditionally. I was able to leave. And I had a Canadian passport.
Yeah.
So I'm one of the lucky ones. They don't have that there. They're there living in this dangerous situation every day, afraid to live their authentic selves. And yet they have the courage to go on, to survive another day, and still to be hopeful for a brighter tomorrow.
Yeah.
And that's, they inspire me.
Well said. So, Omar Sharif Jr., you've got this film, 11th Hour. What's coming up for you in the next little while?
Ooh, so there's a couple stuff mm-hmm. that I'm really excited about, actually. Number one, I have a book deal, which I'm excited and nervous about, because how do you write a book? That's, I mean,
don't ask me, even,
I guess with one letter or with one step, but I don't know how the cliche goes. But I'm going to try,
mm-hmm.
And I'm excited to do that. I mean, especially with all the talk about refugees nowadays and immigration, I think about it, I'm like, I'm privileged, I'm from a certain demographic, and yet I'm a refugee. I can't go home.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's a really important issue because, like I said, I'm so fortunate.
Mm-hmm.
And so many others don't have that good fortune. And so we really need to highlight sort of who refugees are. We're not facts, figures, statistics. We're not moral or ethical debates. We're brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. We're neighbors. We're coworkers. Mm-hmm. We're your C-list actors. We're everyone.
Mm-hmm.
We're ingrained in the fabric. We're straight. We're bi. We're, you know, we're gay and lesbian. We're trans. It's such an intersectional group. I mean, immigration rights is about LGBT rights. It is about women's rights. It is about, you know, global humanity. It's not a specific issue. It intercuts so much more. And so I think I'm going to use my book to sort of tell that story.
To be part of your activism.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So I have that coming up. And I'm not allowed to say the network, but now I'm also narrating a bunch of documentaries about queer life around the world. And I think it's going to be a big deal, and I'm really excited about, because it's going to put a spotlight on issues and places that we don't normally hear about.
Sure.
So that's super exciting as well.
And if people want to find out about you, do you have a website, or are you in social media?
Social media, I guess, is the best way.
Mm-hmm.
It's at Omar Sharif Jr., OmarSharifJr. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, it's everywhere.
Omar Sharif Jr., thanks for being on the show. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure.
Community announcements. Hi, it's Tanya from Girl Play Toronto. We're really excited to launch our Pride Festival this year, starting on June 16th at the Phoenix with Little Debbie from the West Coast. We're also bringing in a whole bunch of new events for this year, including a great comedy show on the Thursday night with Elvira Kurt. Toaster is also part of that lineup. We also have Juice Box, which is a collection of all of the hot parties in Toronto. So just a ton of things. Please check out girlplaytoronto.com for all the information and tickets. You can also find us on social at Instagram at girlplaytoronto.com. Hope to see you there.
Hello, Toronto. It's party time, and I'm Julie Lee.
I'm DJ Dallas.
You're listening to CIUT
89.5 FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show giving voice to the LGBT community. And I'm your tour guide through Rainbow Country. I'm Mark Tara. So that was my spotlight on the 7th annual Inspire Awards. I hope you enjoyed that. I have to say, it was such a pleasure, such an honor to meet someone like Omar Sharif Jr., who comes from, you know, that lineage. Such a pleasure. So, on that note, honey, how about some music?
Hi, guys. This is Mika Barnes. Very happy to be with you on CIUT 89.5 FM.
To Rainbow Country, and I am your tour guide through Rainbow Country, Mark Tara. So in that set, we heard from Toronto, Billy Cooper, Deeper. And just now we heard Jazzy J, Ride. And in honor of, well, I'm not sure if honor is the right word, but with everything that's going on in Europe, a European artist that I know, sort of, been on the show before, Rainbow Country, Tanya Hazel. Sometimes we all go crazy.
Hi, this is Carol Pope on CIUT 89.5 FM.
Go.
And welcome back. You're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM, and this is Rainbow Country, the station's gay radio show. And I'm your tour guide, Mark Tara. So that was Tanya Hazel, Sometimes We All Go Crazy, Bristol, UK artist. Don't forget, get social, get interactive on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mark Tara Music. Honey, follow me, I'll follow you back. Want to be on the show? Send me an email, mark@marktara.com. The podcast for Rainbow Country is on iTunes as well as on podomatic.com. And again, everything is hooked up through my website. Next week, the Village Festival. It's coming up June 17th and 18th. Finally, I want to take this time to thank you for taking your time to be with me. Remember, we live in days of making dreams come true. So believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you. Taking us out, Eartha Kitt. Love, Eartha Kitt. I love men.
This is City Councilor Kristen Wong-Tam, and you're listening to CIUT 89.5 FM.